church plant. They're going to start a church somewhere. And so they were pretending that like they were planning this. And so I gave them a list of items, and they had to decide which were needed, you know, what is absolutely necessary to start a church. And what this did was it got the young people thinking about what is church. And so the first thing on the list was a Bible. Do we have to have a Bible to be a church? Yeah. Can't really do this without the Word. And how many Bibles do we need? And does it have to be in our language? And the end result is we decided, yes, we had to have a Bible, but even if we just have a few, that would be okay as long as it was in our own language. And Dan and I have seen this before where a church had two Bibles, and one of the Bibles stayed in the church, and the other one could be checked out by a family for a week. So they could take it home, they could read it in their family, bring it back, and the next week another family would take it home. And when that church was gifted enough Bibles that every single family had one, they had this huge celebration. And, you know, you think about that. We have so many Bibles. Maybe Sandra has the most. She has a collection, which I love. But, you know, we have more than two Bibles. And so when we started talking about having a Spanish service and all of those Bibles in their language were donated to us, I took that as a beautiful sign that God is somehow going to be involved in this. I don't know the timing. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know that he's going to do it, and he is going to work behind the scenes. And that was such an encouragement. The next thing on their list was chairs. Do we need chairs to have a church? Now, I think in the U.S., I think the answer is yes. We like chairs. We like pews. We like chairs. But in many countries, they like sitting on the floor. And Dan, why don't you bring up a picture? Okay. Well, he has a picture of me preaching at a church, and there were absolutely no chairs. There were zero chairs. And people sat on the floor. They did have some rugs or some little mats that they sat on. But basically, they sat on the concrete. And that gets harder and harder as we get older, though. I'm just saying, if you're going to sit on the concrete for 2 hours, it's kind of a problem for us. So I would say in the U.S., we need chairs. What about musical instruments? We had a picture of that, too. We got it, or we don't? Just go on. Oh, well, here is musical instruments. This was the musical instruments in a church that we visited. And that's what they had. That's what they knew how to play. The thing, at the wood thing is a drum, and you sit on it, and it actually has a name. Does anybody know what the name is? So it's an actual thing. So we went to this other church that was Nepali, and it was a brand new church plant. And they didn't have any instruments. I think they had a tambourine, maybe. And so this group of Korean believers, they came through and decided to buy all modern instruments for this little church. They bought electric guitar and the amps and the keyboard and the drums. They bought it all. And that seemed kind of generous. And so the Nepali church thought that in order for us to have church, we have to play these instruments. But not a single person knew how to play those instruments. And Dan and I traveled back. This church was up in the mountains. And we traveled back up there, and they were playing those instruments. And it was not a joyful noise. It was so terrible, your ears wanted to bleed. And, you know, the thing is that they did know how to play some instruments. They just didn't know how to play those instruments. So I think it's important for us not to say, this is what we have in our church, so this is therefore what you have to have. Because that might not be from God. What about a building? We are so blessed that we have such a beautiful building, and I am so thankful for it. And Dan and I last fall visited this church in Des Moines, and it is a huge church. Do we have a picture of that? Yeah, huge church. And we had lunch with them, and it was lovely. And we sat with this man, and he said that this church started out in his house, and they would meet on Sundays, and it kept growing and growing, and pretty soon they had no more room in their house for any more people to attend, and there was absolutely no parking outside, and the neighbors were very unhappy about the parking situation, and so they decided they had to build a building, and this is what they built, and it's beautiful. But I thought it was interesting. It started in a house because we can gather together and we can worship God. And preaching outside, now that's never going to work in our harsh environment, right? But Jesus preached the Beatitudes, commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount, on a grassy hill that overlooked the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel. I almost said Ireland. No, Israel. And so they are outside, and they're on this landscape that gently slopes towards the water, and it acts like a natural amphitheater. And that allowed Jesus to speak to thousands of people. With no mics, he could just speak. And today, that site features an eight-sided church that was built in 1938, and each side represents one of the eight Beatitudes. And so that's the church you can go to now, but that's not where Jesus preached. I mean, it is where, but he wasn't inside. And so I asked the kids, I said, does a church need a church sign? Well, in the U.S., yes, we need a sign. We need to identify who we are and tell them what hours we're open. But if we lived in a highly persecuted area, a church sign would be a big problem. It could mean that the church is going to jail. And so Dan and I have been in an area that Christians were highly persecuted. And Dan is right there in the hat, and we are sitting on the second floor. Now, the first floor of this little tiny building was a stable. And then you climbed up a ladder, and now we're on the second floor. And behind that wall, there was a little tiny house that someone lived in. And then the church, you go up this thing. I don't even know that you can call this a ladder. They called it a ladder. I called it scary, and I'm an old woman, but I made it up there. And up above there, there was a little tiny room, and that's where they had church. And so we had to wait until after dark. We were already there, but the other Christians came after dark. We all go up at that ladder, and Dan, you can switch to the next one. And the inside, they did have some light bulbs. There was no heat. There's no musical instruments. There was no singing, because singing would be too loud, and it would give our location away. And so the Christians that came, these are little kids that were up there with their parents. Oh, they were so sweet. But the adults started very quietly giving their testimony about what God was doing and what they were studying about God. And I tell you what, it was so touching. They risked their lives to gather together. And this certainly didn't look like a church, but I believe it was a church. So powerful. So we can compare that secret little church to another church. And this is St. Peter's Basilica. It's at the Vatican in the center of Rome. Dan and Darren and I have been there. Look at that. Look at that. All the art and the history and all of the wealth of this church. It is breathtaking. But you have to ask yourself, does God love this church more than that humble little secret church? And I believe that no. God loves us for what's in our heart when we come to him. Now, some people are going to say that believers are the church. The people are the church. And I agree with that. But I also think that we are required to gather together. And our scripture today is Matthew 18:20, and that's on the front of your bulletin. If you ever wonder where that is, it's on the front of the bulletin every week. Roxanne does that for us. And it says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with you." So during COVID, many people, couldn't go to church. Churches were closed. And so we started watching church online, right? And I talked to many pastors that this became very stressful for them because they weren't prepared to do this. They didn't have the equipment, and they weren't prepared for this. And I talked to a couple of pastors that being up and preaching with nobody sitting in the church, that itself was stressful because they're just talking to a camera. And one church in particular here in Iowa, they had little cardboard cutout people in some of the pews so that he could be talking to someone. I thought that was so funny. So what do we think about online church? I think it's a good option for people who are bedridden, who can't attend church. They can still watch church. But I do have a couple concerns if that's your only church. And Sandra and I have talked about this before because she and I both watch a few different things online. But we need to make sure that what they're preaching is from the Bible. And if they're preaching something other than the Bible, we need to turn off that program. It's not worth watching. So, I'll give you an example. Some of the mega churches that put their stuff online, they talk about the prosperity doctrine. And so that would be like, if you believe in God, you're suddenly going to become rich. Well, when we look at what Jesus teaches, that's not it. God didn't promise us wealth. And so I think my point is that we have to be very, very careful what we follow. But there are some good things out there. And my second point is belonging to a church requires us to be active, not just passively observe, right? It involves engaging during worship, working in various ministries, joining small groups, helping others to grow in their faith, praying for the sick. And then when you are in need, your church family is there for you too, right? So this engagement, it strengthens our faith and it contributes to the overall health of our church. But when we talk about what is a church, I think the most important thing is not any of the things that I said, but it's what Jesus says, right? We need to know what Jesus taught about his vision for his church. And he gives us several core principles. And Dan put up, those are the core principles, and there are verses. And so in case you want to look this up sometime and see what I was talking about, there they are. The first principle is a foundation of truth. Jesus declared the church would be built upon the revelation of his identity as Messiah. And he tells us that the darkness will not overcome it. And that's in Matthew 16. The second principle is Jesus taught that true leadership is based on humility and serving others rather than ruling over them. So this is in Mark 10. And it says, "For even Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And I think that's important. I mean, you can go to churches in America where the pastor thinks more about himself and what he's doing and less about what Christ is asking us to do. And we just have to be careful with that. Number three is my favorite, and that's radical love. And when you look at all the teachings of Jesus, there were times that he was a little bit radical, and I love that. There were times that he challenged people who thought that they knew all of the scripture and they were the religious rulers, and he challenged what they believed in. And I think that Jesus wasn't argumentative. He just wanted them to think about things a little bit differently. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." So if we want people to know that we are his disciples, we love. We don't walk around and pretend that we know everything. We love. That's what Jesus said. Number four is grace and reconciliation. And this teaching is in Matthew 18. And Jesus provides a very clear structure for resolving conflict, especially conflict in the church. How are we supposed to do that privately and gently? And then, you know, if that doesn't work, what the next step is.